Welcome to Off the Bench with Danny Cannell.
Back to throw, first down, the pass is deep to his tight end.
And Rajah Bell.
Bell has done everything. 22 to Rajah.
Saw the future of football right before your eyes. Just yell it out, man. He can't guard me.
What is going on? Welcome to Off the Bench with Danny Cannell and Rajah Bell. Thanks for checking us out. We got a big show lined up. It is National Signing Day today. We'll get some of that. NBA trade deadline is tomorrow. Big injury news, really upsetting in the NBA. We'll talk about Kristaps Porzingis and his future now with the torn ACL. The Cavs continue to implode, but huge news in the NFL as Josh McDaniels was announced officially head coach of the Indianapolis Colts. And then, all of a sudden, last night, I'm sitting there seeing Josh McDaniels trending. What's going on? He backed out. And he said, you know what? I'm going to go back to New England and be the offensive coordinator. I'm happy there. There's more to this story that we'll find out.
You know it?
There has to be so much more. It just doesn't make sense.
I mean, someone give it, like, you have any insight on what it is?
No one knows. Everybody's assuming. But there has, so my guess is, and there's been a lot of speculation, of course, because it's a huge, it's a bombshell of a story.
Right.
Like, you don't see coaches back out from head jobs. My guess is that it does have to do with his, he'll be the head coach in waiting, the heir apparent to Bill Belichick. And I don't think it's concern about Andrew Luck's shoulder. Like, I that was speculated, and I know he's going to Europe and he's doing the whatever technique they do when, you know, Peyton went over there, Kobe went over there, players
right.
go over to Europe to get the special treatment.
Is it spinning your blood or whatever?
I don't know. I thought that was for babies when you had the sex term determined.
That doesn't work, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
wait,
that's
not. You did? Hold on a second. We just went on a sidetrack. Because, you know, and it didn't work.
I had to fly up to Virginia.
Yeah, there's only one place that does it. Yeah. For those of you who don't know, the young listeners who have no idea, you can determine the sex of your baby, supposedly, by spinning out the sperm cells, the boys and the girls, and then you're supposed to be able to determine if you can have a boy. And it didn't work?
Well, we didn't. I don't think we got pregnant. So, It didn't take for us.
All right. So back to the story at hand.
Right.
So I don't think that it has to do with Andrew Luck. I do think it is about his future. Because I think Robert Kraft is a savvy owner. I think he did. I think he's still upset about Deflategate because the Colts are the team that reported him, and that was one of the biggest fiascos we've ever seen in NFL history. I think there is some animosity there, very real animosity. I think Kraft does. I think this season more than ever saw, hey, this could be the end of Brady, Belichick, that combination. What's our succession plan? And I think he sat down because get this, Josh McDaniels went to the facility to clear out his office. He was going in there. Now, I can imagine Robert Kraft says, hey, come up to my office, you know, say goodbye or whatever it is, and just gives him the hard sell.
Right.
And that's how it went down. That's my guess. That's my interpretation.
I mean, I could see that, I guess. But why wouldn't you? You knew this was coming down the pike. Like, this was, you know, he's been interviewing for a while. He's been a hot name. This was a conversation I mean, if I'm Robert Kraft and you're a savvy businessman as he is, like, this is a conversation that I'm out in front of. This isn't like a last ditch attempt. Oh my God, I screwed this up. Let me get in his office. So I think it speaks more to where he is. And I'm going to play the family angle.
Yeah.
Because I've lived that. Like, I was in Cleveland, and my philosophy when I played was always, as long as my kids weren't in school and they were young at the time, that I could pick them up and pretty much move wherever we went. Wherever I went, they would go. My wife was a trooper. It wasn't that big of a deal. But once they became school age, it became like that much harder to get up and move. And I didn't want to do that with them, except when I took the job in Cleveland, because it was that good of a gig. Like, I couldn't pass it up. I had to try it. And I was there for 1 year, and my family was, you know, they loved being at the games, but they were a little miserable being in Cleveland away from all their people. And it just took its toll. So I left. I just resigned, and I came home. So looking at it as a dad, knowing what that coaching life is like, maybe he just said, you know, maybe it's a combination of all of that. Maybe said, hey, look, the Indianapolis job, and there's some uncertainty there with the quarterback. And yes, there's some here in New England because Tom's older. But if I'm going to be anywhere and have a chance to have that job in 2 years, it might as well be somewhere where my family's already set up. And that gets them through high school. And now we can figure it out again. And so I think you're right. But I also think that family angle has to be played up a little more than it has been. I think it's a combination, a perfect storm of a lot of stuff.
There was a lot of room. There was a lot of speculation last week in Minnesota because everybody's there from the NFL. Every media member is there. And there were a lot of rumblings that maybe it wasn't as ironclad as people thought because it had been reported for a couple weeks.
I thought it was a done deal.
Right. Everybody assumed that. But there was this undercurrent of maybe it's not there. Maybe I don't, you know, maybe there's some doubt in Josh McDaniels' mind. And then when it gets announced, everybody's like, all right, it's closed. It's a done deal. I would say, like, is this part of Robert Kraft saying, man, this is real? Like, because there's a negotiation back and forth, and everybody tries to play their cards. Everybody tries to use their leverage to their advantage. Maybe Robert Kraft wasn't willing to guarantee it. Maybe there was money discussed. Maybe there was a timeline discussed. Because Belichick, I'm sure.
So you're saying they played poker down to the last minute with this thing?
And like even past, like after they show all the cards on the table, there's like still, one more hand.
Right.
Like one more go-to. The four kids, I do think, because he has four children, young children, I think that probably came into play. But how about this? So I think he burned a lot of bridges. Josh McDaniels did. So there are other coaches from other squads. He had hired his defensive coordinator from the Dallas Cowboys. That guy resigns, takes the job with the Colts. He has a contract in place. What do the Colts do with him? They're screwed. Now the Colts are screwed because they have to start from behind because all the candidates really. Mike Vrabel was really the other hottest candidate. He already signed with the Titans, and the Colts probably could have had him had they not been waiting on this one. There's a lot of people that Josh McDaniels really ticked off.
Absolutely. I mean, look,
does it matter?
Yeah, it matters. I mean, it matters. That's your
unless he's the head coach of the Patriots and he lasts for 10 years.
Well, in that case, he.
But he really. But
you don't do that. Like you don't do that to your peers, to your your counterparts across the league. Like you don't do that to organizations. I mean, I'll never begrudge a guy for ultimately doing what's right for his family. Like if he had cold feet, he wasn't going to be 100% invested in Indianapolis. Don't go there and BS the job. Having said that, like this was a really, really bad look. You did screw a lot of people, and it was pretty unprofessional the way this was handled, in my opinion.
I think, too. I don't think it has to do with Andrew Luck. I think he probably looked at that entire roster that Indy has. It's not that strong of a roster.
Right. Strictly football-wise, what's a better situation? Say it takes him 2 years to replace Belichick. A 42-year-old Tom Brady in that culture in New England, or a 30-year-old and potentially injured Andrew Luck at quarterback?
I think the better situation clearly is New England, hands down, because you're in a winning culture. They already know how to win. You already have familiarity. And the other thing is maybe now you have say in who you draft at quarterback, because they're going to draft a quarterback this year. They have to find a succession plan. Then you get a young quarterback in the third or fourth round. Maybe you find another Jimmy Garoppolo. You take somebody, and then he's groomed under Brady as he gets older. Because I think it's hands down it's the better one if you get that job and you're named the successor. All right, so that wasn't the only news out of New England. The other was the Malcolm Butler decision not to play. So there was a lot of we talked about it on Monday. Why would he bench him? Why wouldn't he play? Had to be rules violation, right? Well, there were reports that there was marijuana found on him, right? Was it marijuana found on him? It wasn't any – the players found it on, right? Or the team found it on him? Missed curfew.
So what
if he missed curfew?
Or had marijuana found on him?
Well, I mean, it's part of a – it's a rules violation,
so
right?
So what?
You're saying it's the
Super
Bowl.
I mean, did he fail a drug test?
No. He didn't fail a drug test.
So?
All right, so here's what I would say, because I've been on teams. It would have to be where he had missed – like a guy who's consistently late for practice.
Right.
A guy who missed meetings.
Sure.
And I don't know that. Like, but this might have been the culmination of a bunch of things. Exactly.
A repeat offender. This is a pattern.
Now, Malcolm Butler – comes out, posts an Instagram with a long, lengthy statement thanking the Patriots organization, but more importantly, addressing these issues, saying none of the reports are true. Because here's the one thing I have. If you suspended him, why did he was benched because – why'd you play one play on special teams?
It's ridiculous.
Like, why did you do that? Like, it doesn't make any sense from a standpoint of why'd you do that.
I don't think that the Patriots are used to having – you know, people come out. I think the Patriots are used to controlling the message.
Yeah.
Right? It's their culture. It's their way. They control the message that comes out. It is what it is. New England. I was in New England this year for the hurricane. Mm-hmm. Like when we had
Hurricane Irma. We were out of here. Everybody, we were like, out. Everybody got out.
Yeah. I stayed with my Longmeadow, Mass. We were up in Longmeadow, and I was riding around, and I've never heard a sports radio AM station, all of them so like homerish. You know, like everything was Pats. If it was anti-Pats, it was wrong. If it was like it was so conservative, so Patriots, Celtics, Red Sox centric, like it was It's unnerving almost. Like, I was like, am I Mayberry? What is going on here? And so I think that's what they're used to. And so, you know, I think that they thought they were just going to be able to come out here, throw Malcolm Butler under the bus, throw a couple of things out there, and he was going to kind of sit back and be like, you know, okay, it is what it is. Let's move on. I'm always for players having voices.
Yeah.
I wish that I had the opportunity to do that in some of the situations I was in. You know, when I was, you know, cast in a certain role from the organization or from the fan base, and I could just step up and say, hey, look, it's not like you think it was. This is actually how it went down. So I'm always for that.
I think it was Belichick being cute. I really do. I think he felt like, hey, I'm the best coach ever. I can put in another player. Those players are pawns. I can just plug in another guy and we'll be fine. I think he got a little bit cocky. Yeah. I think he did. Tom Brady made no bones about it, who he was supportive of. He posted on Instagram, love you, Malcolm. You are an incredible teammate, player, and friend always. Most of the players seem like they're on the side of Malcolm Butler. I do. And again, I think that might have had a lasting impact during the game. When you lose one of your guys, you find out 2 or 3 hours before the game, wait, what's going on? He's not playing. Why would he do that? I think that absolutely had an impact on the team. All right, it is what used to be one of the biggest days of the year in college football. Now, I'm explaining why. Because it is National Signing Day, and you're like, wait, why isn't it this year? Because this is the first time we've had two signing days. We had an earlier one in December. Mm-hmm. This is the second one. I think when the first signing day was announced, everybody wasn't sure what would happen. 80% of the ESPN top 300 players have already signed. They've already committed. They've already signed their letter of intent. So there aren't that many impactful players that are still left on the table. But it still is a big deal. There's still Patrick Sertan. Father played for the
The Dolphins.
Dolphins for a long time. Long-time
American
NFL
heritage.
Player. Yeah. He's choosing between Alabama and LSU. So there are a lot of...
I think Miami's in the mix, too.
Send out a message late in the day. So I think it's diluted a little bit. It's down. It's not as exciting as it used to be. But for some teams making a late push, I think it could be important.
Yeah, sure. I mean, for a team like Florida State, let's say, who's 50,
yeah,
when Willie got the job,
yep,
and you know they've creeped up into the, where are they, top 20 now? They're number 14. You know, you steal a couple of their 9 top 50s left out there on the board. You get a couple of those, and you've really solidified your future and your reputation as a recruiter. I mean, he's still got to go in there and do the job as the head coach, but that goes a long way for an FSU program. You know, more importantly, dude, like, I know as a media and as fans and stuff, it's diluted, but it's the kids' day.
Yeah.
You know, and those kids, they don't care that they're two signing days. They just want their moment with their family at their high school to reveal their choice. And it's a cool day. You know, I don't know that if I were a player, I'd have a big deal like that. I wasn't that guy. Like,
right.
I just wanted to go about my business and I'll go to this school and so on and so forth. But I wasn't a top 50 recruit either.
Right.
So I don't know, but that's what it's about. It's about the kids and their day, and so
I don't know why we have two. Like, I think eventually we'll go to the first date. The date in December, I think that'll be the date.
Why not?
Here's my thing. Why not just have it start? Signing season start December, whatever the date was.
And let it run through?
And just let it go. And whenever you want to sign, you can sign. So if you are that guy, you want to have a big announcement, it's the big parade, you know, whatever, it's the big ESPN day, it's our day when we put everything across, and it's, hey, you can have your press conference, do it on that day. And if you're not ready, you can wait. You can wait a couple weeks. You can go a little bit longer and just open it up. Because like, I don't know why there has to be a dead period, and then we can open it back up, and now they can sign.
I don't know either, other than to say, like, the NCAA – I mean, a lot of this stuff is just the way it has been for so long.
Exactly.
And, like, people are like, it's the way it's got to be.
What do you think if there was just a signing period that opened up before the player's senior season? Because there is a lot of verbal commitments, which mean nothing.
Right.
They mean absolutely nothing. And they're not binding as far – when I say that, because players decommit, they change their mind. But the schools, they change their mind too.
Sure.
Like, there is a player that might think, hey, I can go to Florida State. I can go to Florida.
And you lose that option.
Exactly. And they say, you know what? We found somebody else we like better. Let's go there.
I mean, I don't –
Do you think it would play – because the biggest complaint I've heard about that is that it would prohibit high school coaches from being able to really coach their guy, and they might lose their player for that senior year because they've already got the commitment locked in stone.
Yeah, I think – once that happens, you do have to worry about whether or not
a player might shut it down.
You can influence a kid or even get him to go out there and suit up, right?
Right.
Guys doing like the old "I'm not playing in a bowl game to protect my future" type of thing. But you know, I as long as you're giving players an opportunity, because one circumstance that happened to me was like I signed I I didn't sign, but I agreed to go to Boston University, and then I had a great senior season. I played really well, and I had some heavy hitters come in,
some
right?
Better offers.
Yeah, some better offers, but I was loyal to BU.
Right.
Like, I wanted to go to BU. Then they fired their coach.
Yeah.
And so a new regime came in. And so as long as you're giving the players flexibility if they sign early to make a move if the regime changes, then I'm cool because I always – look, you – everyone should know now I'm player-centric, but especially with the babies, especially with college kids, because that decision, that relationship with that head coach, that university is going to probably, you know, be the biggest decision of their life, and they're going to have to, you know, live or die with the effects of that. So if you don't love what you're getting into, allow them to change their minds.
Yeah, big day. Ohio State, number one, currently Georgia up there, 2, Texas, 3, Penn State, 4, Miami coming in at 5.
Yeah.
The big question people are watching is Bama. Can they make a move? They've been 6 years in a row. It does matter for because I don't like watching it. I don't get into it. But if you look at the past 7 national champions, they've all been teams that have had really solid top 5 recruiting classes. So it does, and it's accumulation of talent that you have to have if you want your team to run to win a national championship. I did have a big signing day,
yeah,
but not as big as they are now because they weren't. It wasn't as big a deal. They didn't have them on TV.
Sure,
but it was a memorable day. Like my family was there, but I had a press conference.
Yeah, the Sun Sentinel.
Sun Sentinel Miami Herald. I had a press conference at the Olive Garden.
Oh wow!
in a back room, private room, and me and Henry Crockett, who went to Ely, one of my boys. Like we had it together. We announced, signed together to Florida State, and had the press conference.
That's
big deal,
cool.
Huge deal. And then I was back in class. You know, yeah. So unlimited.
So
yeah.
Many breadsticks.
Salad.
Yeah, with a little Alfredo sauce to dip it in.
That
was
a
so
recruiting
good.
Violation.
No,
accepting the free breadsticks.
That might have been. Actually, so we'll keep an eye on that all day as 24/7 rankings will be released. The new ones will be ranked. You can check out their website all day long. All right, Hannah Ostapchuk. Has somebody hit us up on Twitter and called you Hannah Ochapstick? Have you heard that one?
I've heard that one. No, I haven't heard Ochapstick before.
Really?
Yeah. So I'm happy that is now around. I guess.
Original.
Yeah. Also, I hear Oh Snapchat a lot.
Ooh, that's one you couldn't have heard five years ago.
Exactly.
That's
so
pretty strong.
Hopefully that one doesn't stick like the Chapstick.
All right. So what do we got? Here's what's happening.
So Danny, you teased this one off the top, but here's the news. So the worst possible news and outcome confirmed for Kristaps Porzingis and the New York Knicks. It's a torn ACL for the All-Star after landing on Giannis Antetokounmpo's ankle following a dunk on Tuesday night. New York currently 11th in the East. This is definitely a shot at any playoff chances. Rehab for the Zinger could stretch into next season.
I just can't get right, boss. The Knicks just can't get right. I feel terrible. All of my in-laws are big Knicks fans. I've had this argument with them before, although I think Kristaps is amazing. There's something to be said for a dude who's always hurt and for what that means for his future and the longevity of his playing career, and I have my concerns about Kristaps. You make a dude like that the face of your franchise, and you're going to live or die with how he plays and carries you. You better make sure he's a sturdy individual. And as great as he is as a player, I don't know that he's a sturdy individual.
You said something before on this podcast. And do you think, because I totally agree with you, is it 7-footers? Like, are they more susceptible than others, or is it just the player?
I think it's a little bit of both, right? Like, I think 7-footers, particularly when they move the way these guys move now, mm-hmm. like that body, that's a lot of stress on those joints, a lot of stress on that body. They're more susceptible because they're more like plays like the one he had where he's driving and dunking and their feet underneath him. But I also think that guys in general can just be fragile or be injury prone. Like Kevin Love.
Mm-hmm.
Like Kevin Love is an injury prone dude. Mm-hmm. He's brittle.
Right.
And so I worry about that with Kristaps.
Yeah.
Well, the Greek Freak unknowingly causing more trouble yesterday as the Lakers were fined $50,000 by the NBA for violating the league's anti-tampering rule. That's because team president Magic Johnson praised Giannis in a recent interview with ESPN, saying he thinks he could lead the Bucks to a championship one day.
It's so dumb. It really is dumb.
What are you supposed to say?
Right, exactly.
He said lots of good things.
Right. It's a dumb rule. It's a slap on the wrist. I do think it is somewhat of Magic being new to the game and not realizing what he can and can't say. But $50,000, it's dumb. It's a really dumb rule.
I don't even have a comment on that. It's ridiculous.
All right, so this time, Russell Westbrook got the best of Kevin Durant, and the Thunder got the best of the Warriors. OKC 125-105 winners on Tuesday. Russ with 34, 9, and 9. KD with 33. But a team worst, -17 plus minus. Draymond Green was ejected after a pair of techs. Now has 13 on the season, which is just 3 away from a 1-game suspension.
He will wind up getting suspended because I don't think he can control himself. Last night was over the top with Lauren Holcomb. You know how I feel about the refs. But last night, Draymond was out of his mind. He couldn't be controlled. I think that the Warriors are either 1-4 or 1-5 against the Rockets and OKC this year in the Western Conference. That's not good. That's not good. I mean, and I obviously it's not good, but it's not good to have that hanging in the back of your mind, right? To have that in your memory bank going into the playoffs, and those be probably your two biggest rivals there in the Western Conference for a team that's used to having their way with everybody, to start to get a feeling that you can't get over the hump against a certain team is certainly not a good look for them. I'd be concerned just a little bit, probably more about Houston than I am about OKC, but concerned nonetheless.
And we're going to get to the Cavs, but in what could actually be an Eastern Conference Finals preview, the Raptors take down the Celtics 111-91. Kyrie Irving drops 17 after a three-game absence, but Toronto improves to 22-4 at home, the best mark in the NBA.
When I always ask you what's your confidence level on the Cavs, and we've been declining every single week, my thing is always, well, who's going to step up and win this Eastern Conference? And that's the hardest thing for me to determine, because for a while I love Boston, then all of a sudden they're struggling a little bit lately. Is it Toronto? They've been up and down historically when they get to the playoffs. Like, I don't know what team is going to knock them from their perch.
Yeah, Toronto's played them tough.
Yeah,
they played them tough, but that's the big question, Danny. I don't know that anyone can. You know my confidence level with the Cavs now, but yeah. Somebody's got to step up and take it.
And lastly, guys, we couldn't go an episode without drama in Cleveland. Well, Orlando last night. So the Cavs blew a 21-point lead and ended up losing by 18 to the Magic. Post game, more of a focus, though, on LeBron, as he said, "I'm here for the long haul. I would never waive my no trade clause. The trade deadline is on Thursday."
He reminds me of, like, the band on the deck of the Titanic when it was going down. Like, he's just going to keep playing, bro. Like, I'm just going to keep playing until this thing's... That's a mess.
They all died.
That's an absolute mess. It's just a mess.
All right, well, the NBA trade deadline is tomorrow, 3 o'clock Thursday. There are kind of the usual suspects. Kemba Walker's been bantered about for a while. George Hill is another one. Marcus Smart, Rodney Hood, Julius Randle, Jordan Clarkson, Larry Nance, Aaron Gordon, Isaiah Thomas, even potentially, maybe, moved from the Cavs. DeAndre Jordan, Lou Williams are talking in extension talks with the Clippers. I don't think we'll see anything bigger than the Blake Griffin to Detroit deal that we saw. But if you're the Cavs, if you're that team, what are you looking to do?
I'm not sure at this point that I have the confidence, having watched us for the last, I don't know, 2-3 weeks has it been since they've been on this slide?
Since Christmas.
I'm not sure if I'm management that I have the confidence to go out and spend what it would take to bring in a piece that, if we were playing great, I would think could get us over the hump, because we're in a really, really bad spot, and I don't know if anything out there at this point gets us over the hump. And over the hump means winning a championship. Not just getting back to the finals for me. That's not the bar. The bar is winning it. And so I don't know that I would go out and liquidate Brooklyn picks and mortgage my future, because I'm not sure, having watched us play for the last 3-4 weeks, that anything out there on the market in any way, shape, or form is getting us over the hump. So I don't know that there is a move to be made in Cleveland.
Would you move on from Isaiah Thomas and say, look, it's been a failure? Yeah, I think I would too.
I don't like what like, yes, why not?
And more importantly, as bad as it's looked on the court as a bad fit, when you hear his comments and you see his interaction with the team, it looks like it's just not working.
It looks
like there is just a vibe there that is it's a clash of heads.
Yeah.
Which, if you don't bow down to LeBron, it's not going to work. Like, he's the GOAT. He's the guy calling the shots. He's the alpha male in that locker room. If you don't kind of cater to his ways, like Dwayne Wade did when he was in Miami and gave him the keys and said he was giving them to him,
right?
And I don't think Isaiah's willing to do that. And good for Isaiah for not.
Most guys think they can be 1A and 1B with LeBron. It doesn't work like that.
Right.
It's A, and then you can be B. But it takes being there, even in when you're talking to him, probably, and this is just speculation because I haven't played with him, but I've watched these relationships unfold. You could probably, in conversation, be led to believe that on the court it is going to be 1A and 1B, mm-hmm. until you realize how ball dominant he is. And it's a good, like, I'm not saying it in a bad way. He's just a fantastic player, and he needs the ball to make things happen. So it puts you in a weird spot once you realize, okay, I'm not one B. I am clearly number two in line here. So
if the Cavs, there's reports that they could unload Tristan Thompson and J.R. Smith.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
If they did, like, this basically boils down to how great is LeBron? Can he carry that team without Tristan and J.R. Smith?
Yeah.
To the
sure.
finals?
Sure.
He
yes.
could.
Yes.
Basically,
absolutely.
You could put him on any roster
absolutely.
In the Eastern Conference, and he could take them to the finals.
Absolutely. I don't believe that the player that we're seeing now that's struggling is like it, that he's lost that skill set that he had earlier in the season. We were talking about an MVP caliber year, quite possibly the best year he's had statistically and from a field goal percentage perspective. Like, he hasn't just lost it over the last 5 weeks. I don't believe that. Having said that, again, it's not just LeBron. Like, is it that much of a mess in Cleveland right now that whatever you bring in there, LeBron could be phenomenal. He's going to get you there probably. But if you're not going to beat Golden State, like, what's the point?
That's the thing, though. This might be the last year that the Cavaliers have still the best player in the world. So don't you kind of have to go for
yes.
it all? Isn't LeBron and whatever you add better than Brooklyn's eighth pick? That pick's not going
right.
to turn around the franchise.
No,
I mean, it could creep into the top three, a 9% chance at this point to creep into the top three. But don't you kind of have to go for it?
Yes. If you told me, and if Cavs were playing okay basketball, and I didn't think that locker room was toxic, and I'm watching it as a general manager saying, hey, I would give up the number eight potential pick in the draft. And that's the other part, right? That Brooklyn pick isn't looking as great as they thought it was going to look up front. But, yeah, I would, because you're correct. Like, the best that we could hope for in a pick like that would be some version of LeBron down the road. Like, not LeBron, because there's not going to be another one. And so, yeah, I would do that. But it's so toxic right now. And I don't know that LeBron stays around, and you're not going to win it this year. I don't care what you do. They're not winning a championship. I'm out.
I just wonder if we're sitting here in June and they're contending for the finals again, and it's just another year. But it does, because they've had drama.
They could very easily do that.
Right,
like, they could.
Right.
I'm one of the biggest proponents of of LeBron being good enough to win the East. Like, I take that stance.
Right.
I don't know who out there is going to beat them. Right. My confidence level's low, but I still think they get it done. But do you beat Golden State?
Checking Sportsbook this morning, our site.
Yeah.
For the first time, the Celtics and Cavaliers are tied in terms of odds to win the Eastern Conference.
And
so that's
a
big change from our show on Monday.
Absolutely, it is. Most of the time, teams say, let's nod to LeBron. He's going to take them to the finals. But some doubts starting to creep in. All right, I got another one for you. Scale of 1 to 10. Because you said something about the Warriors. Not good, 1-4 versus Rockets and who else was it?
Thunder.
Then Thunder.
That was right, 1-4.
Yeah, 1-4.
Yeah.
Confidence level that they win the championship, 1 to 10.
7.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
I do.
Interesting.
Whoever comes out of that West is going to win it.
All right.
It's
so what?
Not
what
a revelation.
So should they be making moves right now with the trade deadline?
No.
Should they add a piece? They don't need to.
I think they could find a fringe player
for bench.
Sure.
Let's get some depth.
Yeah, they could always use pieces that can either make plays or just really shoot the ball. And guys that are savvy know how to play. Not any young, young guy. You're talking about vets who are seasoned, have been in championship type of environments that can really either A, create for themselves or others, or B, shoot the skin off the ball. One of those two you could be looking to pick up, but the Rockets, I believe, stylistically, like, Mike D'Antoni hasn't gotten over the hump in the playoffs yet, but the style they play is going to always give them a chance against a Golden State team, because they're going to want to get up and down. And that Oklahoma City Thunder team has got that number out there a little bit. So
you were traded twice in your career. What was
Sucked.
That? What did you know? Like, what was the vibe in the locker? Did your agent were you in conversation with him saying, hey, this might happen, or
no.
Were you blindsided? How'd that go down?
I was blindsided. So generally speaking, when I was a younger player and I didn't play a whole lot, you always get really nervous around trade deadline.
Yeah,
like you're looking at it, you're watching. Sometimes you had a non-guaranteed, like, and there was a date. Like January 1st or February 1st, and you'd be kind of getting nervous around that to make sure your guarantee went down. And it can be really distracting because, it's your livelihood. You want to make sure you get past a certain day so you can relax and everything. But
were you married when these went down?
The
when
trades
you were traded?
Themselves? Yeah. Yes, I was. And my wife had just – when I got traded in Phoenix, I should have seen it coming because Terry Porter had gotten the job. I was a Mike D'Antoni guy. I never did well with change in a locker room with coaches, like, historically. When it changed, I struggled with that. And so, Terry Porter and I didn't see eye to eye. None of the players did, but I was kind of the I'm always the mouthpiece of stuff. Like, I've learned, like, don't champion the cause, right? Like, be
right.
part of the posse behind it, but don't be out in front as the mouthpiece of it, because no one really wants to hear that. But my wife had just given birth to my second son, and we had just opened a business in Phoenix. And I was in L.A. to play the Lakers, and I get a phone call from one of my buddies from the CBA saying that I got traded. I was like, nah, dog, you got that wrong. Like, I'm about to get on the bus to go to the to Staples. He was like, well, I just talked to Jason Richardson's, you know, wife. We grew up together, and I'm pretty sure you got traded for him. I was like, what the F? So I was like, huh? So I got on the phone with my agent, who had no idea either. And, yeah, we had just gotten traded to Charlotte for Jay Rich, Dudley, myself, Boris Diaw, and Sean Singletary, I think. So that was big because, you know, I needed to go home, and I was like, look, give me 2 days. Let me go back to Phoenix. Get my wife situated. Like, she's got a newborn. Yeah. Let me get her situated. They were like, yeah, you got 24 hours to get Charlotte.
Right. See, but I think that's what people don't understand. Yeah. That's why I think it is kind of – that's why it would be extremely helpful to be married, because you have a spouse in there that can help you find a place. Like, if you have to find a place to live – so would you live in a hotel for a while?
So I lived in a hotel for a month.
Yeah.
We had just bought a new house, too, in Phoenix. Oh. So, like, our dream home. So I left her there to shut all of that down with the two babies.
I'm sure it was fun for her.
The business failed. Like, it was just a catastrophe. And so then I went house hunting every day after practice.
Yeah.
And found something that I could that we could move into in Charlotte.
The NFL trade deadline, I don't even know if most players don't even know it's coming, because it's such, you don't see trades made during the season.
Right.
Most of the moves that are made in the NFL are off-season moves. And those are, you know, a little bit surprising, but for the most part, guys are like, you either get cut or you're a free agent, you sign somewhere else. There aren't really big trades where there are moves that are made.
It's tough
in the season.
And both times Raja was traded wasn't at the trade deadline. One in December, one in November. So it was kind of out of the blue, right?
Yeah, November. That's when Ty was born. Yeah, November. And December was a weird one. I got traded for Steven Jackson. It was a good move from Charlotte, but it started because I had to have my wrist operated on, in my opinion. And so, you know, I wasn't going to play, so they moved me. That one wasn't bad because I just stayed in Charlotte, did my rehab, played golf. And then I went out to Golden State. I played one game. Got to hang out with those guys, Steph Curry and the like, for a couple months before the end of the season. So that it was cool. It didn't bother me as much as the one from Phoenix, because that was my family.
Yeah. It's always harder when you start bringing in family too. All right. Wednesday means top five. I'm not sure how I feel about this segment that we do here. Debo has forced this on us. But top five moments, sports memories from your career.
Okay.
You want me to go or you go?
You go.
No, you go.
I'm going to do my list.
All right, I don't have a list. I'm just going off the top of my head. Number one for me is the choke at Doak. We were down 31-3. Every Florida State fan, that's all the first thing they always say to me, is either he's at the game or I'll never forget that one. Second would be national championship winning. Even though I wasn't the starter, I was backing up Charlie Ward.
Yep.
I held the kick that won it. So I was there on the celebrate right in the thick of things. Me and Scott Bentley, who are our kicker, actually gave Coach Bowden the Gatorade bath. Like, we grabbed the cooler and drenched him with it.
Yeah.
The crazy thing about it was, is we almost became the two biggest goats, like, and not greatest of all time, but like blunders of all time. Because we wanted to do it just to get exposure. Like, hey, they'll put us on TV. Like, this will be great. We're going to be the guys that do it. So we went and gave them the Gatorade bath. And then there was more time. They put back – there was like a penalty or something on the field. So there was another play in the game. And Nebraska actually got a long field goal. And it wasn't that crazy. It was like a 53-yarder.
Right.
If they would have made it, we would have lost. And then we would have been the guys that gave them the Gatorade shower.
You wouldn't be sitting here with me.
Too early, yeah. The third greatest moment was probably – there was a game with the Giants when I was when I started, and we clinched the playoffs. It was against the Redskins, and my roommate at the time was Jason Sehorn. He had a pick six. It was like a celebratory game. Like, we locked up our spot, and the home crowd was there. They were like going nuts. Kind of that feeling of we made it.
Right.
Fourth for me, I'll go to. So these are two non that I did not play in.
Okay.
So, do you remember the Super Bowl when Whitney Houston sang the national anthem? It was in Tampa. It was the Bills Giants. It was the wide right when the Giants won the Super Bowl. I was there. That was one, like, that for me, that's a top five sports member, just being a part of that. I remember the helicopters were like security posted, and they just hovered in the end zone the whole time. But grown men were crying like our boy Debo was when the Eagles won the Super Bowl. And if you haven't checked it out, make sure you check out. Give them your Instagram handle. We should just post it on Kanell and Bell.
Yeah,
put it on Kanell and Bell. Post it on Twitter.
Post it on at Kanell. That was really emotional. Everybody, there wasn't a dry eye in the DeBaradinas household, right? There wasn't a dry eye in there. It was pretty cool, though. And then lastly, for me, another sports moment where I was, when the Yankees were playing the World Series and George Bush threw out the first pitch, I was at that game, too. And that was like two of the most patriotic moments in sports history.
Right.
And he fired it right down there. It was in New York after 9/11. People were nuts. Like, that was the most emotional I've ever been at a game.
Very cool.
You know, it's not a top five for me. It might be a worst five, which was draft day. because I was hoping to go, you know, anywhere in the first couple rounds. And it used to be the first three rounds were the first day, and then you went all night to the second day. See, now they break it up over longer. So I thought I was going to get picked, and I was like, worst case, I'll get third round. Did not get picked. That was the longest night of my life because I had to wait another day.
Where'd you go?
Fourth round. Thankfully, I went kind of early in that one, but it was a disaster.
Oh, man. Let's see. I don't know if I could top that. You got some patriotic.
A little bit of everything. Yeah, but you have a lot more successful moments.
All right. So can I go with, I'm going to go with my top five, but I'm going to slide a sixth in there.
Yeah, for sure. I like it. Bonus.
This one, and you were associated with this. It was your freshman year, I believe, UMFSU. At University of Miami, Tamarick Vanover takes the opening kickback.
Oh, man. You were going to go that on me?
Was it 100 yards? Yes, like 98 yards or something like that?
Silence the Orange Bowl crowd.
To the house. Yeah. We were stunned. And then, who was it? Michael Barrow. Lead him out later in the game.
Oh, that picture is on every.
Depleted him.
Yes, he's Tamarick Vanover sideways.
Yeah. That place was
nuts. Awesome. That was a wide right number one, that kick.
Did you really?
Yeah, the laces were out. It wasn't my fault.
So that was fantastic as a young fella to be at that.
Sucked.
So number five would be, 2000. CBA championship game with the Yakima Sun Kings.
Nice.
Yeah, it was a really cool game. They love basketball out there in the Yakima Valley, and we brought a championship there, so that was cool.
Was that best of five, best of three?
No.
Just one game championship?
Isaiah had come in.
The money was running low.
So it was winner take all, baby.
Wow. Did you get a ring?
That changed. Yeah, we got a ring.
Nice.
My eyes were burning with that champagne. I wish they had the goggles back then. But
that wasn't in the budget.
It was really cool. Wild night. Number four. 1999, FIU beats Michigan. It was my senior year. We had played Michigan the year before, get that money. We had to go up there and be the sacrificial lamb. But they came to our house the next year thinking it was going to be a vacation, start the season. And it was the biggest crowd in FIU history, and we waxed that ass.
Nice.
We put it on them, something fierce. Number three would be game six, first round. Suns Lakers. I was suspended for the game. We were down 1-3. I got suspended, so I watched from a bar on Rodeo Drive.
Are people realizing who you are at the time?
No. So I go into the bathroom, and there's a dude in there talking to some other dude about this punk-ass Rajah Bell and what he would do to him. And, yeah, he cost his team the series. And I'm standing behind him waiting to wash my hands, and he turns around, and he looks like he saw a ghost. And so it was fantastic.
Did you say anything?
Really didn't
I didn't say anything to him. I just chuckled. I went back, and I was with my publicist. We sat at the bar and watched it. But I met them back on the runway when they got off the plane. And, I think there's footage of it somewhere, me just going bananas, welcoming the team back. But I didn't play in the game, but it was phenomenal. Number two would be the first NBA Finals game of my life, the 2001 NBA Finals. We went into overtime in Staples again. And I hit a little funky flip shot over Shaq. My eyes were closed probably. I didn't even see it, but we won the game. And then the best moment of my sporting career would be the Eastern Conference Finals, Game 7, 2001. I had never played real significant minutes in a meaningful NBA game, and somebody was with me that day because I think I had seven quick points that sparked a run. And that was just – my whole family was in attendance. It was in Philly where I've got a lot of family from that are Eagles fans too, and my grandparents were in the building, and it couldn't have been scripted any better.
Nice. To your story, when you ran into the guy in the bar, and he didn't know who you were. One of my dad's favorite things to do, ever since I was little, he'd like to try to embarrass me.
Yeah.
When I was little, I was tall for my age, and so we'd get on an elevator hotel, and somebody would hop on and be like, hey, how old do you think this kid is? I was like, Dad, why are you doing this? And they would always guess, older than I was.
Right.
When I was in the Giants, first year I started, my parents used to come up to New York for games, and we'd be riding around in a cab, and my dad would always talk to the taxi driver and be like, hey, you a Giants fan? And he'd be like, what do you think of their quarterback, their new guy? And I'm like, and would always do this. And then the guy would always be like, oh, he's good or something.
Right.
But then thankfully my dad stopped doing it when I was awful.
Yeah,
could have been real bad. I was like, he's garbage. Get him out of there. Bench him. That was my dad loved to do that and embarrass me. All right, what do we got for topics today?
All right, so another post-Super Bowl edition. Raja and Danny have both talked about teachable moments for their kids.
Yeah.
Right. So in a throwback, I ask if Gisele Bündchen is softer than Strasburg. So if you forgot the Patriots and Tom Brady lost, well, his wife Gisele apparently told their kids after the game, Daddy won five times. They never won before, referring to the Eagles. Their whole life, they never won a Super Bowl. You have to let someone else win sometimes. We have to share. Sharing is caring. Is Giselle softer than Strasburg?
That's awful parenting advice.
That's terrible. Crazy. Right? That's like what your kids would say. Savage.
That's
like, savage.
No, wait.
That's anti-savage.
Yeah, that's anti-savage.
What?
Listen,
really?
Yeah. You're not sharing. Sharing is caring when it comes to like a popsicle or a ring
say, Daddy,
pop.
Daddy's not getting any tonight because he didn't win. That's the message she needs to send.
Daddy
right.
can't throw it and catch it too.
Yeah, you need to teach him about, hey, sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. Remember this feeling. It sucks.
Correct.
Like that's the message you want to send to them. Right. This is what drives you. This is why you have to spend extra time in the weight room, in the film room.
Yes.
You got to use that moment. Yes. Yeah, that was a failed opportunity.
Softer than Strasburg?
Yes, softer than Strasburg.
All right. This, very cool to hear, but also something you have to see on our Twitter page, at Kinnell and Bell. So we called Doug Peterson all sorts of gutsy words for his fourth down play call that resulted in a Nick Foles touchdown catch, but Nick Foles actually suggested what they're calling the best play in Philadelphia sports history. Take a listen to this.
We're going for it right here. We're going for it right here.
Philly, Philly?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. Hold on, hold on, hold on. Here we go. Hold on, hold on.
So Doug just looks at him. It's called Philly Philly or the Philly Special.
Yep.
And Doug basically just says, F it. Let's do it.
Right.
So sweet. Does this change the perception at all? Does it elevate Foles' like legendary status even more?
It does, but here's what's kind of crazy about it. Because he's getting credit for like this, and he should. It was a great call, but it's kind of like the receiver or the running back that wants to call a trick play. Like every player is going to ask for the trick play. Like you always want to run it, and I think he just was like, "Let's do it. Why not? Like let's run the trick play." Yeah. Like every quarterback that has a chance to make a catch like that is going to call for it. You're going to ask for that trick play every single time. Yeah. And I love the fact that this is the thing I think that, and we talked about this leading up to the game. Doug Peterson believed in Nick Foles, and I think Foles felt and fed off that belief in him.
Yes, he did.
And that showed right there. Like, yeah, you want to run it? Let's run it. Like, great coaches trust their players.
I love it on all fronts, and it's purely, like, it's all about the result. Like, if you're going to ask for Philly Philly, catch the damn ball.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And they executed it perfectly.
That's it.
It's good stuff.
Corey Clement said on Jimmy Kimmel Live that they only practiced that play three times.
Yeah, probably.
Executed it well.
Yeah.
Another Philadelphia quarterback. So two rings in 2 days for Carson Wentz. Super Bowl champion, and now he's engaged as Wentz proposed to his longtime girlfriend after a few hectic days in his life. There's more to come with that with a parade on Thursday. We're just glad this wasn't an on-field proposal, right, Hannah?
Yes, I was going to say that. I was so happy that he did this later, like days later, hours later, I guess you'd say, because that happens on the field is so cringeworthy.
And it makes you wonder if you're just caught up in the moment. Like, you better have some time to think about this. I think there's on-field proposals and any public one, like at
like
the stadiums.
Draft day ones.
Jumbotron.
Yes, Jumbotron.
Oh my God, though,
stadium.
I would say no.
Right.
I would be like, check yourself.
Really? Yes.
A Jumbotron proposal?
I feel like you're obligated.
You didn't do it at stadium, did you?
No, I feel like you're obligated, though. If we're on camera, why can't you
settle
just,
it later?
Just say yes, and we'll get. We'll go.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. I'd be like, listen. Here, take this ring back. I need you to take a lap.
Yes.
Do some thinking.
All right, dudes, pay attention.
Carson Wentz better be worried about his job.
Come on, Carson Wentz better be worried about his job. All right, the last topic here before maybe we have a little bit of fun. You guys had a much higher opinion of Justin Timberlake than I think the rest of the internet on Monday's podcast, but you still were a little skeptical of his hometown tribute to Prince. So could we see a hometown tribute at next year's Super Bowl? Super Bowl 53 is in Atlanta. And former halftime performer Bruno Mars thinks Atlanta music should be honored and the hip-hop scene should be honored, tweeting, at NFL, Outkast, T.I., Gucci, Lil Jon, Jeezy, Jermaine Dupri,
DeBrat, get her out there.
Why not?
You don't like it?
It would be the best party TV has ever seen. That's what Bruno said. Any shot at this?
No?
Nope.
Why not?
Because the NFL, with all that's going on now, they are not bringing out hip-hop as their halftime entertainment.
You don't think so?
Nope.
How about as like a side act?
I would love it.
Yeah.
Like I would love it.
I thought that's what you were saying
initially. I think there's a chance.
They're not doing it. Nope.
I think they might. I think they have Luda. Get Luda up there.
Does he count?
Yeah, like, he's no, Atlanta, he's, isn't he?
Yeah, but I
he's
feel
too, like pop now.
Yeah, he's such yeah, a see, like all around good guy.
Well,
like,
what are we look? What's the NFL yeah, looking
they might
for?
Touch that.
No, seriously, exactly. I feel like Ludacris would be an option.
He does yeah. songs he's with Justin actor. Bieber. Like,
is Outkast? Are they talking though now? Are Andre 3000 and Big Boy? Are they on good terms? Because didn't they have a huge falling out?
Flip flops and socks and sweatpants.
Wait, can we go back a second? Why did everyone hate on Justin Timberlake's performance?
I'm just saying what I saw on my timeline and a lot of articles.
No, I agree. I saw this too. There were he got so much. Flack for it, and I don't understand.
Because he's not all of that.
I know from my perspective, I wonder if I'm getting old, but you guys are younger and you liked it. Because I was wondering
I loved
if it was.
Because
Twitter is definitely young. Like, it's young, and it's the kind of the. Like, everybody kind of caters to the same thing. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe they
People
looked
just
at
love
Justin
to hate
Timberlake
on
is
it.
Too old.
I didn't see it.
Maybe
good.
It's. Well, how about this
you
one?
Didn't
I don't
say it
feel
was
like
good?
You can be objective.
You
here.
Didn't think it was good?
I didn't see it.
Oh, you didn't see it.
What
I was
were
a little
doing?
Preoccupied.
Do you think it's the fact that people. Have you heard people don't like his new album?
Yeah, I was actually – I was just talking to Brady Quinn about this yesterday.
Did you
he
like
said
it?
That he doesn't like it.
I'm mixed on it. I think there are a couple good songs, but as a whole – but I never liked
I
the entire
it.
Album.
I thought the whole album was brilliant. I love it. I still listen to it. I was writing to it the other day.
Well,
I think it's
only
great.
Been a week. So
I think it's great. Listen, he can do no wrong.
All right. What's the surprise topic today?
Hannah, you want to take this?
What do we got?
No. I want to hear you take this.
Right. We it's Stormy. Oh. The name is here.
What is Stormy?
Is like the, you
set the scene.
I don't even know how to set the scene. Kylie Jenner.
Oh, jeez.
The youngest of the Kardashian clan.
Yeah. I'm out.
Well, yeah, we're not doing that.
I'm out.
Shut it down.
I'm out.
This wasn't my idea to talk about
rate
this,
and review
okay?
us on Apple Pod.
Her
Dino
name.
Trying to close it up.
Her baby's name is Stormy Daniels.
Spelled with an
Stormy.
I. No, that's what it makes me think of. Is it really spelled this way,
Daniels.
Too? Spelled with an I?
Yes, it's spelled with an I.
She'll be on a poll before long.
Stormy Daniels.
That is setting her up for her future at the strip club. That's what it's doing.
Stormy Daniels
when you give
to the
somebody
main
a
stage,
name like
Stormy
that, that's
Daniels.
Where they're going to be.
I saw the funniest thing on Twitter. Someone said the Kardashian-Jenner family just became a full-fledged weather forecast. It's very stormy in North Chicago with a chance of rain.
Yeah, Jeez with Louise. Winds out of the west. I got a bonus one for you. Bonus topic. Mm-hmm. I have an assignment for everybody in the room. You got to watch Coach Snoop. I think, Raja, you would actually really like it.
Yeah.
Your boys play.
I almost did the other night.
It's pretty good. I watched the first couple episodes. It's Snoop Dogg's new series on Netflix. And it's basically, he has this league, this youth league. I was just like I'm watching it saying, man, they travel. Like an NFL team.
Oh,
their first game was in Seattle. Then they went to Dallas. Then they had a home game. They're like going to Miami.
Snoop came down here bumping those gums 2 years ago about how his West Coast Cali team was going to tear up the Fort Lauderdale Hurricanes.
Wasn't it Chad Johnson? Wasn't he even affiliated with that?
I don't know.
There was an NFL player affiliated.
I don't know, but that Fort Lauderdale team like waxed them.
Yeah.
Like, Snoop, keep that on the West Coast, baby.
Here's the thing where I thought of you when I thought it was kind of controversial. So they're out there cussing out the players, like F-bombs left and right. And they're like 11, 12, 13 years old. And one of the moms doesn't like it.
Yeah.
And they talk about why they use the language they do. But my thing with Snoop, and I think it's really kind of two-faced, is he comes out there and like he's still smoking weed. He's still talking about gangbanging on the raps. But then he says, as a coach, he wants to steer kids away from that environment. And he said, when I'm Coach Snoop, I'm strict and I never come up high. I never talk about, I don't do any of those things with the players.
Right.
But is that effective? Because the players are all listening to his music probably. They're seeing what he does in his other time. It just seemed to me like a little bit of a double standard.
Yeah, I think the players can.
But yeah, I got to watch it.
They're old enough. Like, my kids wouldn't know that Snoop does that stuff. They don't listen to his music.
Right.
Isn't
they just know him
as the
coach.
Isn't he going to be a Tortuga this year?
Oh, is
Snoop.
He?
Yeah.
Oh, we need a podcast guest. Let's get him in studio.
I'm looking at it. Yeah, he's the only person worth seeing.
Oh, perfect. Isn't there usually a country music festival down here in South Florida?
It's literally Eric Church, Florida Georgia Line, Keith Urban. I can't say that. Chase Rice, Sister Hazel, Snoop Dogg.
And Snoop.
Like, it's so
Snoop,
random.
Perfect. I love it. All right, let's go see him. Let's get him as a podcast
we
guest.
We do want to congratulate Raja on passing his class.
Yes.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you. I'm bringing
the certificate.
We need an applause.
Yeah. Now,
right
did
there.
You do like I do with some of our HR stuff here where you don't even watch, you just go through and then take the test
absolutely.
At the end?
Absolutely.
Can't admit that.
I mean, how hard
I think
was
everybody
it?
Does.
Huh?
How hard was it?
It was very easy.
Why didn't we do it in studio?
We got pictures and all of that.
All right,
Western High School. I'm reinstated tonight.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Cleared for the playoffs?
Yeah, cleared.
Have you been given a warning? What happens if you get kicked out again? Like, is it a year suspension?
No, I haven't been, but I don't.
Let's hope it doesn't
turn over
a
new leaf.
All right, good. All right. Thanks for checking us out. Make sure you go and subscribe on Apple Podcasts If you're not an Apple guy, which I'm not going to be much longer, I can't stand my new iPhone. That's a whole other story. Google Play, Stitcher, SoundCloud. You can find us anywhere. Podcasts are out there. Go to the iTunes page. Leave us a five-star review. Friday, we're going to do our five-star Q&A. Ask us a question. Ask us about anything on there. We're still sending out cards. So if you go subscribe to us, if you want one, put in the request on there as well. Hey, send me a card, sign Danny Cannell card. We were going to have like a big special edition. We're going to get a Rajah Bell card signed for anybody who wants one. So if you hit us up there on
those
that.
Those are still in circulation.
We're going to find them to get them signed out. That's what our listeners mean to us. And make sure you check us out on Twitter, @CannellandBell. We're going to start doing a segment here pretty soon about the best interaction. So leave us some comments on Debo's tweets and anything you hear on the podcast. So look forward to that. All right. Thanks for checking us out. Have a good day.